thing. And he chooses not to respond to see if we'll keep crying out. Because usually somebody will try to tell us to be quiet or it doesn't work, and he wants to see how we're going to respond in those situations. Another thing is here is that it's amazing that he heard his voice at all amongst all the other noise and all the other clutter. It's a miracle that of all the other voices that are probably crying out to him, he heard this voice. It's on the same level as the woman who had the issue of blood. Jesus is walking through a midst of a throng of people. He's pressing, trying to get through them. And as he's going through them, somebody touches him, and he makes what seems to be a very ludicrous statement. He says to his disciples, "Who touched me?" Now, I'm going to give you the Newsom translation of this. What the disciples said to him was simply this: "Are you crazy? Everybody's touching you." I mean, he's walking through a throng of people moving in and out. Everybody's pressing up against him. And he says, "But somebody's touching." But he says, "No, no." He says, "This person touched me differently. There was a ring of faith in this touch. This touch put a demand on my virtue. This touch would not be stopped. This touch was a touch that says, I'm going for it. This is a significant moment. Jesus is there. There's no way I can get his attention in this crowd. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment as he's going by, I believe something will happen." It was a touch of faith. It was a touch of expectancy. It was a touch of somebody who was going to do whatever was necessary to seize the moment. And here is another man. Lots of people are crying. He cries out, but this cry is different. This cry cannot be stopped. This cry cannot be bought. This cry will not settle for something less. It won't settle for little. This cry is going for it all. You understand? The cry was different. It was full of faith. Look at verse 50. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now again, this is very significant. He cast aside his cloak. The cloak that's referred here is a long cloak. It's the cloak that somebody, like a beggar or anybody else, would wear during the day and during the night. It's a cloak that's designed to protect you from the heat during the day and to protect you from the cold at night. This person probably did not have a place to live, so he probably slept in corners or in storefronts or against the wall. And so if he would use any of his money other than the daily necessities for his life for anything, he would invest it in a nice cloak because he would need it for his survival. So probably his most prized possession that he had as a beggar, the thing that was most valuable to him, was his cloak, because this cloak protected him from the sun during the day and protected him from the cold at night. But it's a long cloak. It might trip him up. He's blind. Jesus said, "Call him to me." He can't afford to doubt here. He can't afford to pause. He's got to do whatever is necessary to get to the Lord. So he takes this cloak and he casts it aside, knowing that he probably will never see it again. How many know there are other beggars there? As soon as they see that cloak, whoa. It's a significant moment for him. But he can't afford to be tripped up. The Lord said, "Come." Now you got to understand, he's already lost the best day of begging. He's still blind. Now he's lost his most prized possession. He's still blind. He's still thinking, "What if I get there and he doesn't heal me?" But it doesn't matter to him. He said, "This is a moment. Jesus may never come by here again. He's near. He's here. I'm going for it all. I don't care what stops me." I want you to know there's a lot of things that we won't give up, and they trip us up in trying to move towards the Lord to seize our moments. We won't give up some leisure time. We won't give up some aspect of our life in order to seize the moment. Do you understand? But he cast it aside, and then he gets to Jesus. And Jesus, and answering him, Jesus says, now remember the question that I asked you earlier. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And he says, I want to see. Oh Lord, more than anything, I want to see. And the Lord said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Let me tell you, when you get to Jesus looking for the answer, when you get there, you realize you already have it. That you got it as you got there. That your faith in him released his virtue into your life. He says, go. Your faith has already made you whole. And then it says this, and immediately he regained his sight, and he did something with his sight. He began following him. He used his sight to follow the Lord. What I want to try to do during these next four nights is I believe God is going to be with us, that all of us are going to have significant moments. I believe that because in prayer I felt like the Lord say to me, to say to you deep in my heart, not in an audible voice, but in a still small voice, tell them that I want to do more than they had hoped I would. To tell you that the Lord wants to do more than he had hoped that you would. For some of you, it's a wayward child. God wants to do something significant there. For some of you, it's something in your marriage. God wants to do something significant there. For some of you, it's in your employment. The Lord wants to do something significant. And for some of you, he wants to do something with you where his glory is concerned. It's a significant moment. My challenge to all of us throughout this week is to be aware that Jesus is near, that we need to call on him while he's near. Avail, seize the moment, and God will meet with us, and tremendous things will happen. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, help us to be aware, not only all this week, but in all the days of our lives. Those times, incline our ears to know and our eyes to see when you are near, so that we might seize these moments, that we might be able to accomplish things for your kingdom. Lord, that we would buy up the opportunities. Lord, no matter what it takes, no matter what people say, just like this blind beggar, he did whatever was necessary to get to you. Lord, put it in our hearts this week that we'll do whatever is necessary to get to you. Lord, and when we get to you, you'll say, what do you want me to do for you? And we'll say whatever it is in our heart, and then you'll say, go. Your faith has made you whole. Has made your family whole, has made your finances whole, has made your marriage whole. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, we do have some information. It's just a table there. It's going to be up all week about our ministry. It's an informational table. Please feel free to avail yourselves of the materials. Thank you.
Quick reminder for all of you that brought children, because it's raining, you've got to go to your rooms to get them. They won't come out to you, so find your kids wherever they are in their classrooms. If you don't know where their classrooms are, come ask Cliff or I. We're out here in the hallway.